Hey, this is Jeff Floyd, pastor of C3 Church Bathurst, and this is our podcast. Thank you for joining us today. C3 Bathurst brings life to people by helping them to be revived, restored, and released through getting to know Jesus and his people. We hope that this message will bring you life today.
Huge welcome this morning. So good to see you. Just in a few moments, we're going to jump into the first of our series on James. Let me just chat about that for a second. We're so privileged to be part of a great movement, C3 Global. And a collective of top-notch, first-rate preachers have put out 5 parts on James. We're going to watch the first part today, and then the next 4 will be in Wednesday Night Live. They're about 20 minutes each. So it'll kick us off, and then some great discussion points through the book of James. So that's coming up in just a few moments. But I just want to encourage you with something now that I have my Bible. In the book of Micah, there's a great prophecy. I got so excited about this during the week. I want to share this with you because I started seeing the future. I started seeing what God has in store. This is Micah 4. Verse 1, it shall come to pass in the latter days, and I believe we're living in these latter days, that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains. It shall be lifted up above the hills, and all peoples shall flow to it. It's a picture of the house of God in Jerusalem, but it's a prophecy of what's to come afterwards. That God's presence, God's dwelling place will be elevated. It'll be lifted up. It'll be the highest. It'll be the most important. It'll be the most influential. That's what the house of God is in our society. It will become a voice of influence, a voice of reason, a voice of hope. That's the house of God, the collective churches right throughout the world right now. That God will elevate the church. Because the church has so many answers. The church doesn't have answers. It has the presence of God. Look at this. It says, many nations will say, come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, that he may walk in his paths. So many ways right now are contrary to the way that God would have us best live. And they're not all great. But people will recognize and start to see, hey, there's something good going on. I want to find out how to really live well, how to be filled with life and joy and hope and peace. That's what the house of the Lord has. And I tell you, when I started seeing this, I started seeing our church filled with life, filled with hope. It's like fresh beginnings. It's the garden that Roe was talking about. New life, new growth, new plantings. There's a season ahead of flourishing. There's a season of hunger where people are going to say, why don't we go and check out what the church has? Why don't we go and find out who this Jesus is? Now, I see that, but you and I have a part to play in that. It's in the invitation. It's in the connection. I fear sometimes in COVID, maybe people get a little bit sleepy, a little bit self-absorbed, a little bit just looking inward. Hey, it's time to start looking out. Australia is opening up. New South Wales is opening up. We're going to get ready for that. Church online will continue. But for those who live in the area of Bathurst, it's time to come back into the house of God face to face. It's time to get ready. There's a great preparation coming. So I wanted to share 2 things with you. First is our reopening plan for face to face. Online, like this, will continue. It'll continue on Altar Live. Now, Altar Live in the next few weeks will become the place to find church online. We're going to have one place at one time. And as we prepare for that one place at one time, it's going to be so amazing because you and I will be, whether you're online or in the building, we'll be there together at the same time. So if you're watching YouTube at 4 o'clock in the afternoon at the moment, you're going to have to kind of rewind and come back into the space of church together online because we're committed to live and we're committed to each other. Now, we're always going to put up the message in YouTube, you know, for Monday. But in the next few weeks, we're going to start to gather people in preparation for our opening face-to-face. So the best way to access Altar Live is just through our website, c3churchbathurst.org/online, and you'll just find a link. As soon as you click that link on Altar Live, it'll take you straight to the place where church is not only streamed, but you'll see the community gathering together to be the church together. So that's the quickest way in. But let me just talk to you about our reopening plan. During the whole of October, we'll be online only, just as we are now, while regulations sort of sift themselves through. There'll be start to be some team gathering back in the building and start to get ready for November, where we can have one person per 4 square meters and we can actually start to be in the building together, which is so exciting. And then in December, what it looks like at the moment is that we'll be back in, very few restrictions, pretty much back to normal in the lead up to Christmas. Tell you, we're planning some awesome, fun events that'll not only regather us, but also repoint us back into the future. So it's tremendously exciting. This little graphic that's on the screen, that'll just be shared with you so you've got some idea. October, online only. November, blended. December, hopefully, full swing. Let's keep praying for this plan going ahead. But invite your friends. Invite people. It's never been easier to invite people to church. Flick them the link, Altar Live. Hey, jump in. I'll meet you there. How easy is that? I bet so many of your friends are questioning things right now. Flick them the link. Start to prepare how to invite them. I see the house of the Lord flourishing, growth. It's a season of growth ahead. Let's get part of it together, hey? So that's enough of me. Pastor Jake Betlem is about to preach James 1. I know Jake. He's a personal friend. He's a great man of God. And this is a great message that'll really help you find wisdom for this season. Amen. Let's roll.
Hey, C3 family. So great to be with you. And I hope you're keeping well. I look forward to being there sometime again soon. Today, we're looking at the book of James, and I'm looking at a couple of verses in James chapter 1, but I'd just like to lead in with a verse from Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. That's talking about the fashion, and not the clothes we wear, but like more the culture and the way of thinking. And it says, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing and perfect will. It's really important that we are able to test what God's will is in this hour. This is really about thinking biblically and acting accordingly. This is foundational to our Christian identity and the way that we can therefore influence culture rather than culture influencing us. We're not called to be Christian thermometers where we're responding to the temperature of the world's culture, but we are the thermostats. We are the set the culture, and that is a biblical culture. As believers, we do have authority in this world. Jesus delegated that authority to us. The enemy understands this and therefore wants to influence us to bring about his plan. But let's not be deceived through fear and intimidation in this hour. His aim is to influence us to depend on something other than Jesus. Our trust needs to be in Jesus Christ. Set aside preconceived ideas and hear the voice of the Spirit. This is a challenge for all of us, that we don't lean on our understanding, but we are open so that God can make adjustments in our life. The solutions always come from the Word of God, not man's opinion. Right now, too much of man's opinion is being elevated above the Word of God. I would like to encourage you today to allow Scripture to challenge us and adjust us the way that we think and act. In Habakkuk 2:1 is a very famous verse about vision, and that's the right application, but we really need to understand the context of what's happening here. We see the prophet is expecting to be corrected by God. He's removed himself from his daily activities. He's up on what was called the ramparts, a place that was high up in that particular area, that city. And the reason he was there was he was waiting to see what God would say to him and how God would adjust him. It was an adjustment of his vision. It was an adjustment of his worldview, if you like. And so Habakkuk actually means to embrace, and it means to wrestle. And we also need to embrace the wrestle of adjustment by God. The way that God adjusts and refines our life is through trials. And the purpose of trials is to test our trustworthiness. Where is our trust? Is our trust in Jesus? Allow God to bring adjustments to you and me through trials to bring that trustworthiness back on Him. In James 1, 2 and 4, it says, count it all joy. That's a big challenge, to count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. And it says, meet trials. When you meet trials, well, that actually means when you fall into something that is all around. It's not suggesting that a trial is incremental. It's something that we plunge in. It's surrounding us. There is no escape. Possibly we could all feel a little bit that way at the moment. The types of trials that we experience, the first is loss. This is usually of someone or something we love. It's change that challenges our sense of security and safety. Restriction. I think we can all experience that one, or are experiencing that right now, where we're trapped by circumstances. That could be other things as well. It could be financial circumstances, relational circumstances, or other prevailing circumstances like a pandemic. But then there's also consequence, and that's more from our own bad decisions. But the purpose of a trial, regardless of how we landed in that trial, the purpose is that it produces. And this is basically so that we are dependent on the right attitude. What trials produce is dependent on our attitude. And so the goal is that it produces steadfastness. Not a passive, this is not speaking about a passive waiting, but an active endurance. So steadfastness, another word for that is patience, and it's not about a passive waiting, but an active endurance. It's not about sitting quietly, waiting to be served, but the quality that helps us to finish a marathon. The meaning of steadfastness means to remain under. It's about carrying a load. It's a frame of mind that endures. And endurance can't be shorter than the time of affliction. If I'm going to do a 45-minute workout at the gym, I need to complete the 45-minute workout to get the full benefits of that particular workout. The same for us, we need to go the distance in a trial to really reap the benefits. It's like a season. You can't change the time of a season. I don't really like winter personally, but it doesn't matter how much I pray or intercede, winter is going to last 3 months. The same with seasons in God. The trials that God allows us to enter into, they do have a start, and they also, good news, have a finish. So we can't change the time. So trials are essentially a temptation for us to give up. Are we going to give up our trust in God? And I would say we're definitely not going to give up our trust in God. The response in trials is either to eliminate the trial by faith or persevering by faith. Most trials, it's about persevering in that trial by faith. Wisdom is needed to which gear we need in terms of our response to a trial. The aim is never to get out of the trial. The aim is to locate God within the trial and ask Him for wisdom. Help us to make sense about how we should respond and what we can learn at that particular time. Get understanding of how to adjust. I remember a time when I was in business before becoming a pastor. I had made a bad decision in 1990. I went backwards about $300,000. It was a lot of money for myself and my wife and our young family at the time. I remember sitting by this lake and saw this bird right in the middle and really could identify with that bird. I felt that that was me. I was so far from the shore. There was so far from any sense of trust or other options that I had. The only place I could put my trust in was God. And that's when He spoke to me. He said to me, it's not about what you do for me, because I was trying to do some things for him. It's about what I do in you and what I do through you. It was an important lesson for me at the time. And really, Matthew 6, 33 became a key verse that seek first the kingdom and his righteousness and all things will be added. So coming through a trial in victory, in James chapter 1, verses 2 and 4, it says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Don't you like that? Various trials, like there's a huge variety of them. Know that the testing of your faith produces patience or steadfastness. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. The first thing is count. Count it all joy. Have a joyful attitude. The word count here is a term meaning to evaluate. And our values will determine our evaluations. If we value comfort more than God producing something of character and capacity within us, then we're not going to like trials. But if we can see that God is working in us, we can count it all joy. We could evaluate that moment as something that is going to be beneficial to our life. The next one is no. Count it all joy. And then it says no. Have an understanding mind. There is a purpose behind our trials and our difficulty. Testing works for us, never against us. Rightly responding to tests and trials, they produce maturity. It's the only way that God can develop character in our lives is through trials. Steadfastness cannot be attained from a book. It cannot be attained by listening to a sermon or praying a prayer. It actually requires endurance. And the last one is let. There needs to be a surrendered will. Let. God cannot build our character without our cooperation. Paul outlined three works that needs to actually happen to complete our Christian life. In Ephesians 2, 8 to 10, you can find the verses that this supports. First, there is the work that God does for us. This is salvation. Second, there is a work that God does in us, which is sanctification, and it's about developing our character so we become more like Christ, so that we're conformed to the image of the Son according to Romans 8:29. And third, there is the work that God does through us, which is service for his purpose, to bring about his will on planet Earth. We are created in Christ Jesus for good works. That is, when we are surrendered to the will of God. And so 2 Corinthians 4:16, 18. I want to finish off with this. I won't be finishing off in 1 minute, but it'll be a few more minutes. But let's just finish off with these verses. It says, that is why we never give up. Guys, I'm encouraging you, never give up. Never give up on Jesus. Jesus, the plan of the gospel, the plan of God's purpose on this earth will come to pass. Never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are quite small and won't last very long. They're not large and they're not permanent. Let's define them the way that God defines our troubles. They're quite small and won't last very long. In light of eternity, it is just such a small moment of time. Yet they produce for us, trials produce for us, an immeasurably great glory that will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see right now. Rather, we look forward to what we have not seen. For the troubles we see will soon be over, but the joys to come will last forever. Let's embrace the wrestle so that we can reap the benefits. Every moment, every situation is an opportunity to respond to God. Right now, we really need to discern the will of God, to test things about what is his will, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And where we look matters. We don't look at the troubles, but we look forward. We have a vision. We have hope for the future. Where we look really, really matters at this time. Don't be immersed in just the news. Don't be immersed in just the narrative that is coming across through the media, but be immersed in the Word of God. Be immersed in prayer, be immersed in praise and prophecy. Proclaim the truth of God's word into your life, your family, your circumstances. Where we look really, really matters at this time. I want to encourage you to look to him today, to give yourself some time to be still before God, to receive from him, to just hear that quiet, still voice about letting you know it's going to be okay, and also guiding you in scripture to give you some insight about what you need to do, what you need to declare for your loved ones, for the people around about you, for your world that you have influence in Jesus' name. I'm going to pray right now, and we're going to just commit the rest of this day into God's hands and our future together. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come together. Lord, we thank you for your blessing and for your peace. We declare in the name of Jesus, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We declare that right now. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I pray for your will to be done in every person listening to this message. I pray that we are not a people that will be deceived by the spirit of this world, but we would be moved by the Holy Spirit, that our eyes would be opened up to the truth. We would have clear revelation and insight and understanding about what you're doing in our lives at this time, that we would not fret, we would not fear, because certain things have to happen. And Jesus declared, don't have to fear those things. You have overcome them all in him for his glory and for his honor. God bless you. Great to be with you today. Thanks for having me. And I really do hope to see you real soon.
Wow. That's amazing. What a dense bit of preaching there, just to encourage us. And I was just wondering if you're finding that you're in that wrestle right now, there's different things wrestling, but you haven't worked out how to grab hold of Jesus. You haven't worked out how to just go to him and his word and immerse yourself in that, and you're still getting distracted by everything else. I just want to encourage you this morning just to drop everything around you and just to go straight to him. Just talk to him. We call that prayer. Just close your eyes and speak his name. Say, Jesus. And just go straight to him. And that can be the start of getting to know him, of just connecting and asking him to come into your world, asking him to speak to you directly and to show you things, not through anything else, but just through his word, the Bible. And if you'd like help with that, you're just not quite sure where to go, we'd love you to make contact with us through the website to say, I just want to know how to get to know Jesus and to be just connected to him. And we'll help you on that journey and connect you with him
today.
And with a whole bunch of people as well that will
come and visit
walk with
us
you
at one
in
of
that space.
Sunday services in Bathurst, rear of 217 Howard Street. Have a week filled with life.